Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest is Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie & Associates. And we're going to be talking about the importance of culture and resilience today. Joe, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, David. Good to be with you again.
Hey, you know, it's interesting. Before we really get started, it's been about a year since you and I have been on the show together. And, you know, I guess nothing's really changed in the year when you really think about it. It's all kind of the same. But on a more serious note,
smooth sailing.
Yeah, it's the world has changed. And, you know, obviously, we'd love to hear how you're doing, the family's doing, and also how, of course, Dale Carnegie & Associates are doing.
Sure, thank you. And thank you for asking, David. I'm very grateful that my family has been doing well. I mean, certainly it's been a challenge for us, as it has been for everyone else, and a major adjustment. I'm still calling from my home office now. I've got three kids upstairs doing virtual school today. You know, so it's definitely been different, but we're getting through it okay. And it's been a very interesting time, of course, too, for the business. As I think about our business at the beginning of the year, you know, the vast majority of our revenue was in-person classes and around the world. We're in 86 countries, 200 operations. And so I had a front row seat watching the COVID situation first as it started to hit our Asian operations in January, February, and then our European operations and ultimately here in Latin America. And it's certainly been very dramatic in terms of the impact. All of our classrooms, most of them around the world, being closed for periods of time, periods of months in some cases. But fortunately, our organization teaches resilience, and we live what we teach. And we very quickly adapted. We had a North American operation, virtual instructor-led training, live online for about 10 years. And in record time, got that out to all of our other teams around the world. So today, in addition to being able to deliver transformative experiences in the classroom, and our classrooms are opened up in most places now, we also have transformative experiences that we can deliver on a live online environment, a blended environment. And so our digital transformation has been accelerated as an organization dramatically. And frankly, we feel very well positioned because a lot of the things that we teach online are how to manage virtual teams, how to sell in a virtual environment, how to build culture. You know, really, how do you get people to work in this new reality? And so we have and have had for some time programs that really enabled teams to be very successful.
You know, it's interesting you talk about this, certainly the culture and the resilience. And we're going to talk a lot about that today, especially about this four articles that you've put up, and they're up on LinkedIn, and we'll talk about that. But, you know, today, this notion of culture has completely been upended. And I hear, as I'm sure you do, organizations talk about the fact that it's different now. It's harder. You're on Zoom. You're on some platform, whatever it may be. But everybody talks about Zoom as being, you know, the platform that most people are on. You've got these connections, and you know, you're looking at people in a different way. You're seeing them from the shoulders up. You're not really seeing the whole person. I know, as somebody who studied body language, it makes a difference for me from connecting a little bit to make sure that I understand. You know, you're looking for tone, inflection. You're looking for little signals that deal with how a person's doing. How have you seen, and we'll start first, if you want to say, at the Dale Carnegie Associate level itself, how has it affected your culture in the organization? How have you been able to adapt?
Well, it's a really important question. We, as everyone, found ourselves in a situation really being fully remote in March. And, you know, it was different. I think, you know, a lot of people, in fact, I was just talking to another CEO a couple hours ago about his experience, and I think we had something similar. The first few months, of working from home involves some transition. But I think by and large, many people found some silver linings in it. They were with family. They were able to cut commute time and so forth. And they were able to work effectively. And so that was very positive. The challenge, of course, is that connection. And that has to be really intentionally developed. And that's something that we really worked on as a company and saying, okay, we're not going to have that water cooler conversation. I'm not walking down the hall being able to say hello to people. So what are some things that we could do to really continue to have that connection? And we worked very hard and continue to relative to even having, I mean, we've got all company meetings. We have breakout sessions where we'll just take time out of those meetings just to put people randomly into a breakout room just to talk to other colleagues. We've had very extensive communication and messaging really to help people feel connected so that they know what's happening. So there's greater transparency even now because we know people are struggling with so much. And, you know, but a lot of it really has been trying, David, to focus on from a point of empathy, you know, how do we connect? How, you know, people are struggling. They're fearful. They've got kids upstairs or whatever they've got. They've got older family members they might be concerned about or people with high risks. So really intentionally working to build those connections, part of it is listening and talking and understanding, sending messages in Microsoft Teams, which is a platform that we use. It's just a lot of things that we do, but it has to be intentional to say, you know, I'm going to reach out to David. I want to find out how's David doing today. And it's not just about work. It's how are you doing? And how's your family? And getting by okay? And what can I do to help? And that type of thing.
We're talking, of course, with Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie & Associates. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. You know, Joe, one of the things that certainly has come up about this is, as you mentioned, this connection as a family. And I've said for many years, I know you have, work is a family, too, and that you do care. And I've said it for years, 99.9% of all employers really do care about their employees, probably more sometimes than they even know as employees. But, you know, a lot of owners are out there doing the right thing each and every day. And they were struggling to understand how to truly engage and how to truly make them feel better in terms of making this happen. What are some of the things that you've been able to witness or see that have really made a difference in the lives of the employees that have either worked for you or for the franchisees?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. And again, I'm just going to go back to what I said a second ago, because I think this is it's an important point, which you start with intentionality. And I've seen some of my executive team leaders take time to think about, you know, how do I make sure that I'm building connection with my team and just checking in on people? So there have been a lot of things that they've done, and I've seen some things, whether it's, I guess these days a lot of people have done virtual happy hours and karaoke's and those kinds of things. But I think even just the one-on-one calls and the conversations that have really been sensitive to where people are, you know, sensitivity around deadlines, sensitivity around work environments, family situations, and so forth. You know, one of the things we teach in Dale Carnegie really is the importance of being a good listener. And especially these days, it's important to ask questions, to listen. Appreciation's another thing as well. You know, it might be that you're in a physical work environment, you see people, someone says thank you. We've got to be very intentional about making sure that we're recognizing people for the added work that they're doing. There may have been, you know, furloughs, the layoffs, other kinds of things. People are doing more work, working longer hours in some cases. So really to recognize someone very specifically and the reasons why we would recognize them as well, be very clear about, you know, David, thank you. I'm so grateful for, you know, you not only took on that project, but you did it in, you know, record time and we've got these results, et cetera. But it starts with really a deliberate desire to recognize and listen and help and appreciate people.
You know, that's so important. I've used the example before, and I think it's appropriate now. You don't know really what people are going through when they're off the air or when they're not there, especially at home. You know, a lot of people, as you said, have children and have family members, and they may be going through issues that you don't know about. I use the example of I was coaching the individual. This was probably in around April-ish when I noticed each time that I'd get on the Zoom with them that the room started to get darker each time. And I just thought it was the camera at first and the way it was, but I noticed each time it was getting darker and darker. And I asked the question, you know, is there something wrong with the lighting in the room? Like I was just trying to ask, because no, I've just keep closing the curtain more and I've kind of closed the door. And as I started listening, I started hearing some, you know, warning signs in terms of what's going on with their life. And we were able to talk and obviously get some support for him. From professional help in other ways. So it is so important today to make sure that you are listening and you are connecting.
Well, that's a great example, David. I mean, and again, you were sensitive to that. You went into that. I mean, there's probably a whole range of things, just thinking about yourself, that you had to do that day, or you had a lot going on and so forth. But you took the time just to be observant and to ask. And just that level of asking, of creating that space, sounds like that made a huge difference for that person, but it wouldn't have happened if you hadn't been who you are, if you hadn't been deliberate and caring and empathetic. So that's something that we can all learn from.
Well, you know, it's a constant understanding of who you're talking to, right? As you know, the more you talk to somebody, the more you go through the Dale Carnegie course or, you know, after 8 weeks or 12 weeks, you start to really get to know a person. And it is about observing and caring, right? That caring manager, as we talk about, to make sure that you really do care about them as a whole person, not just as that employee.
Well, that's right. And just you've got me thinking about some stories, even that where I can recall that. If we go back to March or April, things were looking very scary. And I remember talking to some of our franchise owners at that time, who were in a real panic mode because, I mean, think about any small business person where, I mean, we look at the restaurants, we look at the you know, the movies, all these, you're shut down. It's scary. You think about payroll and everything else. So recognizing that people are coming from an emotional place and making time just to let people articulate that. I remember having a call with one person in particular who was just really scared and sad and just not sure what the future held. But by the time we got done talking, I just let her talk. You know, she started to see, it's like, well, you know, but what are the things that we could look at that might be positive? And how many times have we gone through past experiences? We've gotten through these. So the value of perspective made a big difference in that conversation. And then, she, you know, she kind of came out of it. But to your point, making the time and just really being patient and listening, that's a really important role that we all have to play as leaders.
It absolutely is. And it's really about what we're talking today, right? The importance of culture and resilience to make sure that you take that time, that you listen, that you digest, that you is the individual acting the same or is something different and cueing in on the little stuff, right? In terms of making, I know you have children, you probably have done the same thing with your kids, right? It's different
sure.
When you're home every day. It's, you know, I hear it from mothers. I hear it from fathers, like, you know, sometimes they're climbing off the walls in terms of it.
It's true. And using that example, I mean, we have a role as parents, also as leaders, you know, we are uniquely situated in many ways to create an environment that enables our teams to be resilient, to get through some of these tough times. So that's really the question, is where are the opportunities and how do we do that? And certainly that's something I'd be happy to share. We've done research, a lot of research on resilience. And I'm pretty excited about the topic because people who are resilient can get through difficult times and be far more successful, not just emotionally, but also in terms of the results they achieve.
Well, we're going to talk about that in the second segment, which will be coming up shortly. We're talking with Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie & Associates. I'm David Chulo, your host, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsandME.com. That's JobsandME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
I'm so sick.
Ooh, honey.
Seriously? I'm sick.
Oh, honey, it's time for DayQuil Severe, honey. It's maximum strength cold and flu medicine with soothing, honey-licious taste.
I love you, honey.
And I love you.
I meant the DayQuil.
New DayQuil Severe Honey. The soothing, honey-licious daytime coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, power through your day medicine. Use as directed.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
Would you like to be a helper this holiday season? Two homes in Maine who house and support women survivors of trafficking are in need of your help. Women who arrive at these homes usually arrive with only the clothes on their backs. Toiletries, clothing, and household items are needed to support them. Please visit the Stop Trafficking U.S. Facebook page to find an Amazon link for those list of items needed. For more information about how we're helping to stop sex trafficking and supporting survivors, visit StopTraffickingUs.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-law.com. We are talking today with Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie & Associates. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. Joe, we were talking about culture, and of course, we were talking about resilience. And you mentioned in the last segment about some data, some information, and some stats you have on some research you've done, and I'd love to hear more about that.
Sure. Well, I mean, let's just, so the research that we've done is across many countries and looking at this concept of resilience, and what does it mean to be resilient, and what are things that companies can do and people can do, leaders can do to help drive resilience. But one of the things that we saw in the research is that people who are resilient, people who demonstrate resilience, are far more likely to achieve positive results. I mean, the first thing is, and this is a survey we did in February of 2020. You know, we looked at, you know, what how many people are resilient, and actually a high percentage of people, 46% of people are highly resilient, 38% were moderately resilient, and 16% were low resilient. And when I'm talking about resilience, what I mean is the ability that the people have to bounce back from adverse experiences and really to cope, to recover, to learn from experiences, and then to kind of to move forward. And I mean, that's one of the kind of the main things is where are people starting. We also looked at, and this is actually not our research, this is some other research, but it looks at four different types of ways that people respond to adversity. And, you know, some people respond in a chronic way. So they are distressed by what happens, and they really, that distress doesn't decrease over time. Then there's delayed. These are people, there's moderate distress in the beginning, but over time they get worse. There's recovered, so they have distress in the beginning and they get better over time. But really, resilient people are those who maintain a low level of stress or distress with minimal impact on functionality over time. And so when I'm talking about what percentage of people are resilient, it's encouraging that there are a percentage of people, high percentage of people, that are highly resilient. But part of the nature of resilience, David, is that It can be learned. People can become more resilient. And it can clearly be impacted by leadership, which is, in other words, what are the things that I can do as a leader that can help my people, my team, become more resilient? And to me, that's the most exciting part of this, because we don't have to settle, you know, for where we are. We can build more resilient teams. We can build more agile teams, and we can help people have a higher quality of life if they're, you know, willing to do certain things and if we can create certain environments in our organization.
You know, Joe, that brings up a question. So, you know, one of the things that we certainly learn as we're developing people is that people have certain, I'll call it innate abilities inside. They're either, you know, maybe more positive or negative. They're glass half full, glass half empty type people, right? And that's kind of like it's a stereotypical statement, but I'll start with that premise. Does it matter, or does it change the way they handle resilience by their initial outlook? How does that have an impact, as you see, and also in their ability to bounce back?
That is the single most important factor in determining whether or not someone is going to be resilient or not. It starts with their individual attitude. Whether someone is positive or whether they're negative, that's going to frame how they're going to see the situation. And there's a lot of data that looks at optimistic people tend to get better results because they expect better results. The way they see or frame a situation is to find the pathway to something that's more positive. On the other hand, people who are more pessimistic, more negative, are more likely to get what they're expecting. So to the extent that a person can cultivate a more positive or optimistic outlook, and by the way, this doesn't mean that someone is avoiding the bad or the challenges of the situation, they're going to confront that. It's how they see that. It's how they frame it, you know, in terms of their ability, what's their ability to influence what's happening. So really having a positive attitude and cultivating that kind of a mindset is the first and most important part of what it takes to be resilient.
So you take that attitude and you say, okay, I'm going to accept being a positive in this area. And we certainly know that that's an emotional response sometimes, depending on the situation and the issue. What are one or two things that you would give as tips that leaders could do right away or make a difference in their employees' lives in terms of resilience?
I think there are two things that I might think about before anything else. The first is to create, and we think about culture and the important role that culture plays, but to create a culture that includes psychological safety. That means that it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to take a risk, as long as you learn from it. And there are environments. You know, I was in Japan not too long ago, and I was talking to the CEO of one of the most successful companies in Japan, and he said, you know, one of the biggest challenges we have, and this is where he was bringing in Dale Carnegie to help, and he'd seen great results by bringing in Dale Carnegie to do this, but he said, one of our challenges, I've got people who are afraid to speak up. They're afraid they're going to get in trouble. They're afraid of making a mistake. And I've got brilliant engineers, and we're not able to take advantage of what they could offer the company. So we need to create a way, and the way that you can create that is by having a culture that encourages people to speak up, that encourages people to take a chance and to learn from what happens. So that's one, and we can talk more about that if you'd like. The second thing, though, is from a leadership standpoint to build trust with the people in the company. And the way you build trust, there's a lot of different ways. Part of it is reliability, following through on the things that you say that you're going to do. Part of it is transparency. And even if you've got bad news or if you don't have an answer, it's to say the truth and to let people see that over time. But where there's trust and where there's psychological safety, the leader creates an environment where people are willing to take a chance. They're able to step out of themselves and out of their shells, if you will, to try something. Whereas you think about a different kind of culture, either where there's distrust or where you're concerned about your job, and or you're concerned about, you know, some cultures are mocking. Some cultures, you say something, you do something, and, you know, you get called out or you know, made fun of or whatever. You can see the difference that each culture is going to have on the way that a person is going to see a situation, the kinds of things that they're going to say and do and feel. So it's the leader's responsibility to create that culture where people can thrive.
We're talking with Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie & Associates. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. You know, Joe, you talk a lot about trust, and I think that is obviously one of the things that has to be built, and it's also got to be maintained, right? I mean, it's one of those things that, unfortunately, can be lost pretty quickly. And in these circumstances, especially under the pandemic and under the current environment, people are a little more hypersensitive to what you say. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. They are hypersensitive. And just to go back to what you said, and by the way, understandably so, because there are so many stressors in the world right now, right? There's so much volatility and uncertainty and ambiguity and complexity. So people are hypersensitive, and they're looking to their leaders. And, you know, it's really important, as you said. Trust is a very hard thing to gain and a very easy thing to lose. So leaders have to be even more mindful about how they communicate, about what they communicate, about when they communicate, about the modality of communication, about being two-way and being able to listen to people and to hear and to demonstrate empathy. Because if they don't, or they are not reliable, or they say we're going to do something and then they don't, that in this environment can undermine trust even more quickly.
You know, we also mentioned in this self-confidence, and of course the ability to make mistakes helps with that self-confidence, but what does a leader or individual that's managing someone have to really do? Because, you know, sometimes if you're a little more introverted, if you're a little more hesitant, if you're especially in an environment where you're not sure, you know, you might be really hesitant to go out on that limb, go out and take that self-confidence step forward. What are some of the things that you would encourage leaders or owners or managers to talk about so that people will make that step forward?
Well, some of the things they can do really goes to, and I think about some of the things we teach in Dale Carnegie. I mean, it's affirmation. So when someone does something right, you're really affirming it. One of the things that we teach in Dale Carnegie is to praise every improvement and praise the slightest improvement and be really hearty in your praise. So if someone is doing something, they step up, they do a great job, then, you know, you sincerely, honestly and sincerely appreciate that. On the other hand, if people make mistakes, then, and part of it is, what is my role as a leader? My role as a leader is to serve, first and foremost. It's to help leaders become create new leaders and to support people. So if someone makes a mistake or they don't do well, how do I handle that? Am I critical? Am I criticizing? Am I complaining? Am I talking about the person? Or, you know, maybe there's a way to encourage that person, to show that person where the fault was and to help that person learn from that so that they can continue to get better. And I think that's also something that contributes to this process of building trust, right? Because if someone knows that, you know, I'm there to help you, then that's going to go a lot further than if they think, I'm not so sure that this person's got my interests in mind. Now, the leader still has to hold the person to a level of performance. And if over time there's a performance issue, I mean, that might be a different situation. But in terms of, you know, creating a high-performance culture, I think it's very difficult to do that when there is, in the absence of appropriate praise and in the presence of extreme criticism.
You know, one of the things that I think you bring up an interesting point is this productivity or accountability mindset that is critical, obviously, to the long-term success of any organization. And one of the things that has happened, and I heard it a lot, especially in May and even in June, and still hearing a little of it today, is that almost we had leaders that were afraid to say or do anything to rock the boat. They were afraid to maybe discipline, or they were afraid to do anything because there was this legitimate fear of everything at the moment. And so you're watching leaders taking a step back a little bit and going, wait a minute, we still got to produce. We still got to hold people accountable. We still got to do all these things. And how do we do it in a more empathetic way? But let's also make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. Any thoughts or results or suggestions in that area?
So just so I'm clear, David, what you're asking is, in an environment where there's already a lot of stress, how do leaders engage their team members to get results?
That's a very good way of putting it. Sure.
Okay. I think it's still some of the same recipe, but part of it is, for me, people have to understand the why. So especially if the organization is under stress, communication around what's happening is very important. And also creating a purpose that is above simply just financial. I mean, it's important clearly there's a financial component. You have to have financial results. At the same time, how do we give people the ability to aspire to something greater? If we're talking about the challenge that the organization is going through, and this is the greatest challenge in our 108-year history, well, let's talk about that. And let's talk about being the people who, at this point in history, are the ones who enable this organization to thrive and to survive and to reach people and have an impact. Whereas if we don't do that, then what's going to happen? People will lose that. So any organization has a need to make sure that they are inspiring people to greatness and to the results that they need to have to survive. Every organization has a purpose. What is that purpose? What drives that purpose? So communicating that purpose, connecting people to it, and tying it to results are all things that can help.
No, you're absolutely correct. I think the purpose is the importance of culture and resilience, right? The purpose allows you to get what needs to be done. And to make sure that you're clear with your mission, to clear with your organizational structure and values, this is the time that they're not just posters on a wall, right? That they're actually something that means something. We're going to talk more about that in the next segment. We're talking with Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie and Associates. I'm David Chulo, your host, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Would you like to be a helper this holiday season? Two homes in Maine who house and support women survivors of trafficking are in need of your help. Women who arrive at these homes usually arrive with only the clothes on their backs. Toiletries, clothing, and household items are needed to support them. Please visit the Stop Trafficking U.S. Facebook page to find an Amazon link for those list of items needed. For more information about how we're helping to stop sex trafficking and supporting survivors, visit StopTraffickingUs.org.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
You don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust,
and it won't be a fuss. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right
right through your own home. Sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot. Driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe. Put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's Collision Centers.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB 100.5 FM and presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest has been and continues to be Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie & Associates. He's been a frequent guest on the show. We appreciate him coming on today, especially in these important times. And to that end, we've been talking about the importance of culture and resilience. You know, Joe, one of the things that I know will be dear to your heart in this conversation is the research of how important it is today to still make sure you're developing your team during these uncertain times. You know, it's interesting. We are in a unique situation of an economy that while unemployment is a little higher than it was, you know, hey, 8-9 months ago, you couldn't even find talent. Today, you still have a challenge finding talent, and you still want to retain the great talent you have, especially since they've worked so hard to get you through this. So talk to us about what you feel are some of the important, if you want to call it, areas that a organization should focus on in making sure that they develop their team.
Sure, excellent. I think you're touching on something really, really important, which is especially when people are working remotely or they're coming back into a hybrid workplace model, how do we connect with our people? How do we help our people feel valued? How do we help our people grow? We know that millennials in particular are always looking for growth opportunities. There was a survey that was done by Satel Group for the 2019 Future of Work and Employee Learning that talked about 37% of current employees would leave their job if they weren't really learning new skills or gaining training. So one thing that a company can do and an HR team can do is really to say, how are we equipping our people for this new environment? Are we investing in them? In what ways are we investing in them? Are we helping them develop the hard skills and the soft skills, frankly, that really they need, whether it's around their presenting skills, their communication skills, their interpersonal skills, self-confidence, those kinds of things. And this is an opportunity in this environment. If a company really wants to take advantage of getting to the next step and to move much more quickly, having the talented people and developing their people does two things. Number one, it communicates that they're people, that they're worthwhile, that they're invested in, that they're cared for. And number two, it equips those people to perform at a higher level.
You know, when you're talking about professional development or even in leadership development, you know, a lot of organizations are looking at saying, well, you know, I want to do that. And maybe I can do that for 2021, but you don't want to wait too long, right? I mean, it is one of those things that people remember if you didn't invest in them.
That's true. And especially right now, when there's an opportunity to invest in people, it's one of those things sometimes people say, oh, well, we'll do this next year, and then next year never comes. It's the gems yesterday and gem tomorrow, but not for today type of thing. I can't remember the exact quote. But the point is that it's something that's very easy to put off, and at the same time, it's something people will look at today and with appreciation and know that they're being valued and equipped.
You know, that goes to the trust we talked about in the last segment of saying you're going to do something, having every intention maybe of doing it, but then forgetting about it, moving on to that. And that does get remembered.
It definitely does. People's memories are long of those kinds of things.
Oh, they certainly are. You know, one of the things that I'll also mention in development is, you know, look, from a coaching somebody one-on-one or moving somebody through some development, communication still today is more important than ever. Matter of fact, I would argue it's even far more important today than it's ever been. And of course, with texting and IMing and messaging and social media and email and in person, and I can go on with the 10 million other ways you can get communication, 15 different apps that you now can go through to get your communication. It's become harder than ever to maintain really solid, good communication. What are some of the things that Dale Carnegie and yourself have seen that really work?
Well, I'd say a couple things. Number one, and you mentioned this to me earlier before we started, I'll just share it with your audience, is that, you know, one of the things you lose, especially in a virtual environment, is that sense about body language. So much more the ability for people to express themselves with their tone, to use hands, eye contact, facial gestures, those types of things are all really important, especially because we're in these screens that are really just kind of chest up. So having a program or having people go through programs that really teach them how to thrive in a virtual environment is something that they'll appreciate and that they'll take with them and be able to use for forever. What someone's lighting, what's someone's environment like, you know, how do you have a virtual presence? I mean, all of those things go to effective communication in a virtual environment. So, and I don't know what it's like right now in Maine, in New York. A lot of us are still remote. I think our company will continue to be remote well into next year. And so the question is, how do we equip people to be able to do that? That's one way to do it, is through that kind of training. It's training that Dale Carnegie offers, how to manage virtual teams, how to have people be successful in virtual environments, how to communicate online, those kinds of things. But this is really an important time because people are still very much in the midst of the environment that we're in.
Well, you are talking about creating opportunities for teams to also share experiences as well, correct? I mean, this is an opportunity to learn from what you've done well and learn from what you've made the mistake over in the last few months.
That's true.
Do you find any advice from the things that you've done well or maybe even a mistake that you now say to yourself, yep, I've learned from that and I can share that experience and of what's gone well or a challenge with the audience?
You know, I think, what's gone well is, as I think about our transition as a company from work to working from home in March, we've been working from home for many months now, as many others have. But thankfully, we didn't miss a beat. It's funny because the paradigm that I have and I think we have around how people work and when they work, where they work, is completely different. You know, we have a headquarter office that, we've got a lot of our operational team in. And, boy, I'll tell you, I give them all so much credit. We haven't missed a beat. But part of that is the planning that went into that. And, you know, part of it is just the recognition that the jobs are such that we could do them remotely. What hasn't gone well? I mean, I think, frankly, you know, we were learning like everybody else about how to be connected and how to communicate. And that hasn't been a straight line. We've learned about the importance, really, of really reaching out to people individually, of surveying our team members and understanding where people are and in what ways can we do better. How do we communicate? There's a saying about the biggest myth about communication is that it has occurred. And sometimes people think they've communicated. Sometimes we think we communicate as leaders. We think we're clear, and you realize, oh my gosh, we're not. So that's been a bit of a learning for me, is just to make sure that we have a frequency of communication and a way of communication and so forth that is, really effective.
You know, I think it's interesting. One CEO told me, and, you know, I thought I communicated well. I thought I made sure that I was clear. This is absolutely amped up and amplified my looking at what I say and how I say it. And I've really learned from that. And I can see that because I know that we're seeing the same thing because it's different. You don't have all those cues. And you really have to take that extra time. So I thought that was a good lesson learned. And you're kind of saying the same thing.
Well, it sounds like it's a lesson learned for both of us, for sure. And I am saying that. I would add to that too, David, that, you know, one of the challenges of virtual meetings is that people do get disconnected. They're sitting looking at a screen and so forth. And you know, we look at it many times like there's a two-minute rule. You know, you've got to do something to engage people. Ask them a question, even a rhetorical one, get them moving or thinking or talking or something every few minutes. Otherwise, it's easy for people to phase out. So how do you keep a virtual meeting going? I've seen our all-company meetings really improve over the past months as we've started to do it, to have people go into breakout rooms just for the purpose of kind of just sharing experiences. I'm having inspirational talks. This is an all-company meeting. You know, just doing little things that kind of keep people connected, having people go into chat and talk about what's one thing you're doing right now to focus on self-health, you know, and what's one thing you want to appreciate about someone. Put it in the chat. Let's go through some of the chat. So there's different things, but certainly we've learned about how to be more effective with that over time.
We've been talking with Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie & Associates. I'm David Chulo, your host, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsandME.com. That's JobsandME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. You know, it's been fun, as we have been talking with Joe Hart today, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie & Associates. We've been talking about the importance of culture and resilience. And I think if you go back and listen to the show at hrpowerhour.com after today, and you say to yourself, I want to get a few tips, there have been some great tips that Joe has been able to provide us today. But Joe, as we wrap up the show, I'm going to ask you two questions, and you'll have some time to answer both. Ready? You ready for this?
All right. I'm ready.
All right. Here's the first question. I'm going to keep you engaged. The first question is, what are a couple of solid final thoughts that you can provide to the audience of things that they can move forward and do? And number two is, tell us a little bit about what's the new exciting stuff that's happening at Dale Carnegie. Now you have four minutes. Have fun.
Okay, go. So the first thing in terms of the things, and recognizing that your audience, we've got a lot of people in HR, and HR really has an even more important role in the business maybe than it's ever had, given all the challenges that companies are having these days, is number one, really think intentionally about the culture that you want to have. Think about in what ways can I engage my people, invest in my people, connect with them, build trust, and build, you know, psychologically safe environments. But the first thing really is, you know, what is my plan? And really intentionally building out a plan. And then number two is making sure that you're executing on that plan in a authentic way, in a reliable way. So if you say you're going to do something, then you follow through and you do it. Certainly, I'll just kind of segue into the second part of your question, which is a Dale Carnegie. You know, we've got 108 years of experience helping build great cultures, vibrant, agile cultures, highly effective, resilient cultures. And right now, a lot of people are struggling to do that in a virtual environment, people working from home. So we have a lot of resources that we can provide to help companies do that. How to sell, virtual selling, virtual teams, virtual meetings. Those are all things we've been helping companies around the world really master, especially over these past months, so that they can have thriving businesses. But DaleCarnegie.com is where you can learn more about some of those resources. And certainly we've got amazing teams and franchise teams around the country and around the world and in Maine to help with that.
Joe, I want to thank you very much for being on the show, and a couple of things that I'll just let the audience know. So Joe has four articles that he published between July and October on these subjects right on his LinkedIn profile. So please go there and check out the articles. First one is Five Ways Managers Can Support and Maintain Resilience with a Returning Workforce. Second, Cultivating Strong Attitudes and Behaviors to Help Organizations Thrive in Today's Workplace. And five, Strategies to Reduce Stress and Support Productivity in Today's Workplace. And finally, of course, How to Engage Employees in a New Hybrid Workforce. We talked a lot about that today, Joe and I. Thank you so much for being on the show and being a guest. We always love having you on. You provide us great insight. I certainly, as you know Dale Carnegie very well and a huge supporter of it, and wish only you and the organization and your family a great success.
Thank you, David. Appreciate you having me on the show, and wish you and your family the very best as well.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back with the HR Tip of the Week. And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Liz Johnston from Verrill. When is the last time you reviewed your non-exempt and exempt worker classifications? If it's been a while, this may be a good time to audit your employee classifications. As your company changes and employees' roles develop, it's important to check in and consider whether the employee is actually performing work that is sufficient to meet the duties test for a particular exempt status. For example, to qualify for the administrative exemption, the employee's primary duties must include the use of a significant level of discretion and independent judgment as to significant matters. The language of job titles and job descriptions are not enough. What matters is the work the employee is actually doing on a day-to-day basis. And don't forget about the salary basis requirement, especially if the last time you reviewed your employee exemptions was before the DOL's most recent increase to salary requirements. In addition, keep in mind that some states, like New York, impose even higher salary thresholds for exempt status, so it's important to check your local laws in your local jurisdiction. If you have questions about performing an audit or whether an employee is appropriately classified, contact me or a member of Verrill's Employment and Labor team.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.